Welcome to Evolutions Weekly, where we dive into the details of our many periodic revolutions, elections. I'm your host, Alvin, and today we're going to be talking about the 2021 Indian state elections. So if you remember what I said in the previous episode about our schedule in the upcoming weeks, you remember that I mentioned explicitly that we were going to do three different episodes on three different states, namely Tamil Nadu, Kerala, and West Bengal. Well, I lied. What we're going to do instead, and I realized this after I started my research, is that we could actually end up covering all five state elections. And conveniently, all of them are actually located in only two different regions within India. So as such, we can talk about two different political dynamics in this particular series. So the way I've decided to divide it now is to actually do five different episodes talking about these two different regions. So to kick off our series, we're first going to go east. So where we're going to talk about West Bengal this week, and we're going to talk about Assam next week. Then, in the 3 weeks after that, we're going to be going to South India, where we're going to be talking about Tamil Nadu, Kerala, and Pondicherry. Okay, so now that we got that out of the way, let's start our conversation on West Bengal. So, if you know anything about West Bengal in recent years, politically, of course, you'd know that the Trinamool Congress essentially has a monopoly on the state. So, of course, in the Legislative Assembly, they have almost every single seat. And, of course, in like various local government positions and various tribal and autonomous regions, they also have a strong grip of power. So, essentially, when you talk about West Bengal politics, you have to talk about Trinamool, because Trinamool is basically the only party with any sort of substantive power in this particular time. So, of course, if you don't know, the Trinamool Congress is actually a party that split off from the main Indian National Congress, which, if you know anything about Indian politics generally, is basically the big party that's going against the BJP in all these other states and in national elections. So in the late 90s, basically, I believe it was 1998, there was an activist by the name of Mamata Banerjee who basically left the Indian National Congress and started her own state party, namely the All India Trinamool Congress. So TMC for short. Now, of course, you know, as a new party at the time, you know, of the 2001 Bengal elections, of course, you know, they wouldn't actually immediately take power. Some parties do, but in this case, you know, we have like a slow rise, basically. So in 2001, they were able to gain 60 seats. 2006, it went down to 30. And now in 2011, they were able to finally get 184 seats. And as such, you know, giving them power in the state. Now, who was in power before? Interestingly enough, it was actually the Left Front, which is basically just a coalition of communist and socialist parties. So prior to, you know, Mamata Banerjee's big victory in 2011, basically West Bengal was under communist rule for 30 years. Now, of course, you know, they were democratically elected, but it's interesting nevertheless. So since 1977, the communists basically ruled West Bengal. And of course, you know, this is probably like the world's, I believe it's the world's longest, you know, period of communist rule, elected communist rule in any place in the world. And if you're talking about this period, you know, the figure of Jyoti Basu, who's basically the chief minister of West Bengal for 20 of these 30 years, is of course, you know, somebody who you can't gloss over, because, you know, as soon as he was gone, basically you saw a decline of communist power in West Bengal, paving the way for Mamata Banerjee's Trinamool Congress to finally take power. So anyways, going back to present day, so Mamata Banerjee's TMC basically has not been defeated since 2011. And in fact, in the last election in 2016, they've only grown in power. So with seemingly, you know, no competition in the Legislative Assembly, which is with no other competition within the state itself, what you saw over the years was basically an installation of like one party rule, if that makes sense. So basically, you know, they're free to pass any policies they want, they're free to, you know, make any rulings that they want. And of course, you know, you could say that, you know, this sort of governance, this sort of like system that they created would of course, you know, create trouble in, you know, the administration and the ruling of the state, in the same way that 30 years of unchallenged communist rule caused, you know, West Bengal to over time, you know, degrade in development. But, you know, of course, within this last decade, I believe, like Mamata Banerjee has actually done pretty decently to actually, uplift the development of West Bengal. Of course, how good she's done it is, of course, debatable. And, this is like what her opponents would like probably bring up. But, it's like, it is certainly interesting nevertheless that things like West Bengal, maintains one of like India's highest, human development index and, these other metrics. So, even though it is one party state rule, you can't really say that nothing good came out of it. But of course, I think it's like, and we're beginning to notice now, there's basically been like loads of like, scandals of like, intimidation, of voter fraud and things like that, in order to for the TMC to keep their grip on one party state rule. Some people say they've, had to resort to these illicit means. And if the TMC was ever to lose power, it would be because of this. So, anyways, now we go back to this upcoming election in 2021. And interestingly enough, most elections in this cycle are actually going to take place in cycles. What does this mean? It means whereas most places, most states, most countries have their election in one particular day, in this case, in some states in India, you actually have the election stretched out to even over a month. So, in West Bengal and Assam in particular, you see that the election is actually stretched out to over a month. So it's going to start in March 27th, and every few days there's going to be different districts who are actually going to cast their vote, and it's going to go all the way to May 2nd when all five election results will actually be, announced. So anyways, who are the main players in this particular election? Of course, first of all, we have the Trinamool Congress, who are currently in power and who currently have a grip on everything in the state. Then you have the Sanyukta Morcha Coalition, and this is a coalition formed actually within the last election. And it's basically a coalition between the Indian National Congress and the aforementioned Left Front. So when Mamata Banerjee actually took down the Left Front in 2011, she didn't just take them down, she actually decimated them. So they went previously from having control of everything across the state, from local positions, from legislative seats and things like that, to essentially being rendered irrelevant in West Bengal politics. So now maybe they have like, I don't know, it's like maybe like 11 or 12 seats at most. So because of that, and of course in their desire to actually make gains, they've decided to kind of like ally with Congress in order to to fight the election together and to hopefully take down the TMC. But as we saw in the last election, there hasn't been much of a dent made in the TMC monopoly. So, you could say this election is kind of ineffective and kind of like speaks to like the widespread decline of, of Congress nationally as well as, the Left Front as well. The only other place in India where the Left Front actually is still prominent is Kerala. And we'll get to that in a few weeks. Then, lastly, we have the BJP, where there's Congress, there's always BJP. So, I think it's like in the Hindi heartland, the BJP, of course, dominates. Talking about Uttar Pradesh, you're talking about Madhya Pradesh, these kinds of areas, the Hindi belt essentially. Of course, that's where BJP dominates the most. That's where they always win consistently. That's where they've been winning all these years. Now, West Bengal is interesting in that, of course, from the name, most people are Bengali. So, immediately from the get-go, this is not a Hindi belt region. But of course, like it's close enough to the Hindi belt, and of course historically, Bengalis and of course, those in the Hindi belt of course share many cultural similarities, linguistic similarities and things like that. So, you could say that, there is a possible way, a possible avenue for BJP to actually make an entrance into the state. And you would be right. The BJP has actually been trying relentlessly to win this state. I think it's like within the last few weeks, you saw Amit Shah, the Home Minister, and you saw Modi himself, actually yesterday, doing rallies in West Bengal. Because, I think it's like they actually do believe that it's a winnable state. And they have their rights to believe that. Why? Because in the last election, the last big Indian election, the 2019 general election, the BJP actually managed to win a significant amount of seats, for the national parliament, for the Lok Sabha in West Bengal. Basically, while the Kolkata region, the central region, was basically, like saved from BJP influence, the east, no, wait, sorry, the west and the northern regions actually all voted, in large numbers for the BJP. Now, the reason for this, of course, is debatable, but if I had to speculate, it would probably most likely be because of a surge in anti-Trinamool votes. Of course, interestingly enough, the regions that did vote for the BJP are actually regions in the margins, And of course, like I said, with the Trinamool essentially holding a monopoly on the state, it makes sense for, these marginal regions to actually, not have their voices heard. So of course, they voted for BJP as a result. And at the same time, it might also be an issue that, that the BJP's message actually does resonate with Bengalis, and that we've actually been painted a false picture in, the Trinamool's relentless anti-BJP, campaigning. So getting to what I just said, so why has the BJP, historically done pretty badly in West Bengal? Well, it's, basically the perception that, the BJP is anti-Bengali. So, of course, if you know anything about the BJP, they follow, a Hindutva ideology. So what Hindutva basically is that, it basically takes Hinduism, which is, like a very pluralistic religion, and basically makes it, very dogmatic, makes it very like strict, as to like what the stipulations are, and at the same time, like it elevates Hinduism as like a state religion. So of course, in the Hindi belt, this ideology, it sells, like it really appeals to the masses. But in non-Hindi regions, you see instead this at times a really strong anti-BJP sentiment. Now, of course, this doesn't apply to all non-Hindi speaking regions. As you see in places like Assam and places in like Karnataka, the BJP are actually able to make inroads there. But there are a good number of states, a handful of states, where anti-BJP sentiment is rife and really alive. And it's basically how the state parties have been able to maintain power for so long and have dissuaded voters from voting BJP. And West Bengal is one of these states. And things like the reason I personally find Mamata Banerjee and West Bengal politics interesting is because of like her, basically her beef with Modi. So, like if you go on YouTube, you're gonna find a lot of these clips of just her, basically bashing BJP, bashing Modi, and it's always like, these two basically always have beef. So, and like Mamata Banerjee, of course, is a very brash person to begin with. So that's what makes it like a lot more fun. So, but this is the picture that's been painted by, the TMC, that, the BJP is anti-Bengali, that the BJP is anti-India even. So in a sense where it's like because of their Hinduva ideology, they will be against, like the secular foundations of India, and as such, those in West Bengal, believe being a very pluralistic state, they must fight the BJP off, basically. But like I said, the 2019 elections basically kind of shatters this perception. And this is the first state election right after that huge BJP victory in West Bengal. So while it's like in previous elections I would say the BJP has no chance of winning West Bengal, interestingly enough, I think in this election they would at the very least make major inroads, and we'll get to polls in a bit. So moving on, so now we have what are the big election issues in this particular election. So, first of all, CAA, Citizenship Amendment Act. So, if you kind of keep up with, Indian affairs, you would know that I think about, well, last year, yeah, there was this big amendment made, like nationally too, the Citizenship Amendment Act, basically, stipulating, who can be given citizenship and things like that. So, in the big sort of like controversy is that what the BJP government did basically was omit Muslims from, being allowed, Muslim refugees from being allowed to be granted, Indian citizenship when they do run away into India. So, Hindus, Sikhs, Buddhists, they all can get citizenship as soon as they get to India. And of course, refugees, mostly, from Pakistan or Bangladesh. So because of that, their logic is, it's like, well, these are Muslim majority states, so, why should we grant citizenship to Muslims? But, of course, this didn't sit well with, a lot of people, West Bengal especially, because it borders Bangladesh, where like in the rest of India, the amendment is essentially viewed as being anti-secular, as like going against the conventional wisdom that, India is a secular state and as such, should accept all religions. But interestingly enough, what you're actually seeing in West Bengal is actually like a drive up of the Bangladeshi vote as a result of the Citizenship Amendment Act. So of course, these like former refugees would, of course, like more likely vote for the BJP essentially, because the BJP essentially granted them citizenship. And the really interesting thing is that like this also applies to Bangladeshi Muslims who, I think as a wish, as an appeal to the national BJP government, in voting in droves for the BJP, they hope that they could gain something in return. And you actually see this, in a number of regions for a number of issues. But yeah, this is interesting to see that, the Muslims who are supposedly, marginalized by the Citizenship Amendment Act are actually in some cases voting BJP because they want to actually, have be in good favor with the national government and as such, could even get citizenship as well. And of course, like the second issue we have, the issue with Cyclone Amphan. If you remember last year during COVID, the West Bengal was hit by a big cyclone basically, and everything flooded essentially. So of course then there's some allegations of corruption in that sphere, and of course COVID, we just like what every single election last year and this year is based on. And then lastly we have the Gorkhaland issue, which is basically a region in North West Bengal that wants to make its own state. So Gorkhas are of course Nepalese, so they have three seats basically in the West Bengal Legislative Assembly, and like their main political party in the region, the GJM, the Gorkhaland Janmukti Morcha, basically is currently in coalition with the TMC. So that's likely to not, change anytime soon because, the BJP hasn't really made any moves in that region as well. But anyways, so now we get the polls. So what are the likely outcome for this particular election? So basically what the polls are saying right now is that Trinamool is likely to retain their power in the state, but there will be massive BJP gains. And I think this is pretty understated in a lot of places. So basically, what's gonna happen is Trinamool will basically lose a good amount of seats, and but they will be able to maintain a slim majority of 9 seats, whereas the BJP will basically gain 104 seats from their current 3. So remember when I said earlier that the Trinamool basically has a monopoly of power in the state? What the polls are saying is basically that the BJP will basically break this monopoly. The TMC will still be in power, but now they would have to deal with a large BJP opposition. So if that's what actually happens, it'll be interesting to see what's going to happen, in the coming years. Might the state actually even fall to the BJP in the future? We don't know. But like any pre-election coverage, all we can do for now is basically just wait for the results. And once the results do come up, we will analyze the results and go from there. So stay tuned. And see you next week.